Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and verse 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. And we're going to be focusing on Sarah, whose daughters you are, if you do good. Now, the context of this passage deals with the honor due to husbands and wives. Far from diminishing the value of women, the Bible establishes the same, affirming the great dignity of women. Women earn respect as wives and mothers within the context of their homes. Now, this is not to say that ladies cannot work outside the home, for often economic necessity demands it, as does the industrious spirit of many of you ladies, just as it did in Bible days. In the 31st chapter of Proverbs, we find reference not only to the work that the women did within the home, but the way in which they contributed outside the home in their communities. Note that our text begins, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. This, as you know, is the very thing that I am still trying to institute in my home, and yet my wife still does not call me Lord. I ask for your prayers to that end. The message this morning focuses on the next phrase, whose daughters you are if you do good, affirming Sarah's qualities as a good woman, a good wife, and a good mother. Along these lines, first, Sarah's fearless faith. Second, Sarah's inward beauty. Third, Sarah, the virtuous wife. And finally, Sarah, the virtuous mother. Sarah's faith and fearlessness. The final phrase in our text reads, "And are not afraid with any terror." You see, faith involves an unconditional trust in God. And within the home, the ideal is an unconditional trust of your husband, which, if he is doing what he is supposed to be doing, loving you sacrificially, you will have little trouble in exercising. This is a challenge to you men this morning. And such faith excludes fear. Now, we talk of the faith of Abraham in leaving his home country for a nomadic life, going literally God knows where. But Sarah, who was called Sarai by her parents, meaning princess, implying her noble birth, took the very same faith step that Abraham did. As Ruth said to her mother-in-law, so too did Abraham say So too did Sarah say to Abraham something along these very same lines. Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. But wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. At some point, the child raised without Christ must leave the pagan roots of the home and follow God, who today has been revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Sarah also was tested. She lived most of her life barren. And she struggled with that. She made a couple bad decisions. But after decades of prayer, yes, she lapsed. But God saw Sarah's heart. And which of you among us is perfect in all your ways? Indeed, God even saw Sarah's faith in this. And she makes it into the Hebrews Hall of Faith in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which records the faithfulness and faithful deeds of God's people who put their faith in Him, trusting His promise that He would one day come through with the Messiah, Jesus Christ, thereby securing their inheritance in heaven. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She was 90 years old, by the way, when she bore Isaac. And she bore a child when she was past the age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Our second point this morning deals with Sarah's inward beauty. Now, Scripture testifies that Sarah was a woman of beautiful countenance, and it also says that she was very beautiful. Even in her old age, she was quite the looker. And the king of Gerar was interested in taking Sarah as a wife until he found out that she was already married to Abraham. Yet, for all of this God-given outward beauty that Sarah had, it was her inward beauty that commended her before God. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. We've now arrived at our third point. Sarah, the virtuous wife. Now, the majority of Bible scholars believe that the virtuous wife referenced in Proverbs 31 was Ruth. But many of the Jews teach that the woman in view here is Sarah. The description certainly fits either of these two ladies. Let me ask you a question. How great would Abraham have been without Sarah, his godly wife, behind him? I think we all know the answer to that question. How blessed are those with an equal yoke in spirit in their marriage. That said, our hearts and our prayers go out to those who do not have that yoke, for they have quite an extra burden to bear. The yoke is not easy, but difficult in that regard. I digress. Sarah exercised hospitality. She even worked diligently to prepare a meal for some guests. In doing so, entertaining angels unaware. Sarah respectfully communicated with her husband Abraham, as we see in the matter of Hagar and Ishmael. Therefore, she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac." And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. You see, Sarah had been in barren condition for so long that she gave up waiting for God to answer her prayer for a son. And instead, she gave to Abraham her young handmaid, Hagar, who bore him a son, Ishmael. But Ishmael would not be the son of the promise. Isaac would be the son of the promise. And because Hagar was still legally Sarah's handmaid, Sarah had the authority to dismiss her from the home, but not without the blessing of Abraham. So Abraham had a little issue with that, because after all, Ishmael was Abraham's son, although he was not Sarah's son. So there was some communication that went on back and forth. There was a little bit of a disagreement going on here. But Sarah respectfully brought this before Abraham. A I believe it is implied here that it was also brought to God in prayer because God answered them and the dispute was settled peacefully. Settling Marital Disputes 101. Go to God in prayer. God answered. God said to Abraham, "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac, your seed shall be called." Finally, consider Abraham's great sorrow at her death. Sarah died 127 years young. And the extent of Abraham's grief over the death of his wife testifies to her excellence as a wife. Finally, Sarah, the virtuous mother. Sarah was an excellent mother to Isaac for 37 years. She had taught him well in God's ways, and after she died, Isaac did not depart from them. Very shortly following her death, Isaac honored her, choosing a godly wife, Rebecca. And he is soon thereafter seen in prayer, talking to and listening to God, and worshiping at the altar which he built. Not only was Sarah an excellent mother to Isaac, but Sarah became the mother of the nation of Israel, and by extension, the mother of all nations who partake in God's promise of spiritual blessings given to Abraham and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The Lord indeed had promised Abraham while he was still Abram, "I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Sarah's role in this is further expounded as we move along in the book of Genesis, in the 17th chapter, in the 15th verse, when God says to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be," you ready for this, "a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her." And Abraham fell down on the ground and worshiped. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God by faith. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. sonship by faith. Sons and daughters of Abraham, and by extension, also sons and daughters of Sarah. In the kingdom of heaven, at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we shall also meet Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, we are certain. Sarah had faith. Sarah was fearless. Sarah was inwardly godly and beautiful. Sarah was a virtuous wife, a virtuous mother. We have before us an example worthy to follow. In the scriptures, when the Lord sought an analogy that would most closely approximate God's love for his people, you know what he chose? He chose a mother. In the 15th verse in the 49th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we find it written, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Unthinkable, right? Surely they may forget. Unthinkable as it may be, it's theoretically possible, given the human propensity for sin. "Yet I will not forget you." Consider your mother's sacrificial love and thank God for her. Then also consider the love of God. "Yet I will not forget you, that compelled him to choose the nails, the greatest love of all." Always, always be reconciled to mom, and take care to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, who gave you such a blessing. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the example of Sarah and the example of so many other godly women and moms in the scriptures. Lord, that we might follow in her footsteps, in the ways in which she is commended. And Lord, that we might likewise consider our own mothers and grandmothers, our wives, the mothers of our children, and the honor to which they are due on this day and every day. Lord God, when we consider your love and try to apprehend its depths and its breadth, what your love is like, may we look to those mothers who embody compassion and self-sacrifice . Find in that a point to relate to . And thank you, Lord, for your infinite love and compassion, which compelled you to send your Son to come die on the cross. And we thank you, Lord, that that same risen Son intercedes to hear our prayers this day. If there is any forgiveness or reconciliation needed with our mothers, with our wives, with you, Lord God, through your power, may it be exercised today in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.